5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us right now is Ed Henry from the Fox News Channel. Ed, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you this morning on this Friday?
Thanks for having me again.
So glad to have you join us. I wanted to start off discussing something we were just talking about, and that is the feud between Mitch McConnell and President Trump. And Mitch McConnell, by saying that, you know, President Trump just doesn't understand the machinations of Washington, how long it takes to get something done. And the president, of course, firing back at him, saying 7 years is more than enough. Yesterday, Lou Dobbs on our show said that Mitch McConnell is committing political suicide by taking this tact. Do you agree with him?
Well, I agree that Mitch McConnell's in a precarious position. I mean, when you have the president, what was new after Lou's interview with you is that yesterday when the president took some questions in Bedminster, New Jersey, at his golf club, among the things he answered was a question about Mitch McConnell's future and whether he should step down. And the president said, well, let's see if he finishes health care and taxes and infrastructure and then come back and ask me the question. I mean, that means the door is wide open for Mitch McConnell to leave if he doesn't start getting this stuff done. So I think the president has a point with a big caveat. Here's the point. The point is Republican leaders in general, not just to pick on Mitch McConnell, have been talking and talking and talking about repealing and replace Obamacare. And if only we had, you know, the whole universe of the House, Senate, and White House, we'd pass all these great tax cuts. They're not doing very much of that at all. Their blame goes all around. The president probably should be, you know, doing less tweeting and more lobbying, you know, the actual lawmakers, and Mitch McConnell's been asking him for that. So there's plenty of blame to go around, but Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders are really on the hot seat and should be right now. The caveat I'd mention quickly is this is a president, though, who he's stuck with the leaders he's got right now. I mean, unless he wants to push a coup right now, which is going to, you know, only make things more difficult for Republicans in the short term, he's got to deal with McConnell in the short term, number one, and figure out a way to make this relationship work. And number two, as the special counsel Robert Mueller investigation heats up with Manafort and the raid on his home in Virginia recently and all of that, the president needs all the allies he can get, particularly among Republican leaders right now. And I don't think antagonizing them when you need them in your camp is the best strategy in the short term.
Ed, I want to ask you if there's anything that stood out to you yesterday. For the first time in a while, we've heard from the president directly, speaking to reporters for at least half an hour or so in two separate speaking occasions. And he hit things like literally everything. He hit North Korea. He hit Manafort.
Right.
He hit Robert Mueller. What was a standout moment for you yesterday?
Well, I think in general, you know, all the whining you hear about, oh, this president's not accessible and this and that from the mainstream media. I mean, the fact of the matter is, as you say, he touched every subject and he told you exactly what he thinks. And there were some things that were not very popular. I mean, I think the statement he made about Russia, for example, and Vladimir Putin expelling our diplomats, which was a kind of a nasty move, and maybe we should either retaliate or hit him, you know, verbally and maybe literally by throwing out some Russian diplomats. Instead, the president said, well, he helped us cut our payroll at the State Department. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe he was saying it half a jest, maybe not. But those are the kind of statements that he ends up, you know, his critics are going to jump on, but frankly, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he seems like he's in good spirits. I was struck by how he responded to the legal questions yesterday. We've heard regularly, like all this theorizing about what Donald Trump would do if he's going to fire Robert Mueller, what's going on. But on both questions about Paul Manafort and on Robert Mueller, he seemed to take very reasoned, disciplined approaches to answering those questions.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Actually, I saw some commentary that because I was going to highlight that, because you're right, that did stand out to me, what he was saying about Manafort. I heard some commentary that he was throwing Manafort under the bus by saying, well, he was barely around my campaign. No, he said that before. I don't think he was throwing him under the bus. I mean, Manafort was there briefly, had a senior role as chairman. But you're right. I thought he was expressing sympathy for Manafort, maybe, you know, to kind of keep him in the fold and say, hey, look, I'm not throwing you under the bus here by saying, look, why was there a pre-dawn raid? And his home was because I lived there, it was pretty rough stuff.
Ed, hey, your phone connection's coming a little wonky. Let's see.
There you are.
There you go.
You know, there's been some commentary on the right in recent days too that, you know, why was there a pre-dawn raid at Manafort's house?
Yes.
When there was never a raid on the Clinton side with all that happened with the server and the emails that were deleted.
Yeah. One of the things that President Trump also addressed was North Korea, and he doubled down on North Korea. He's gotten a lot of criticism about the choice of words, fire and fury, such as the world has never seen. And he doubled down and said, you know what, maybe they weren't harsh enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure he should make the rhetoric more harsh. You know, again, that's him sort of playing the media a bit. But look, his initial comments, a lot of people, you know, thought, oh, he went too far, and, you know, presidents are supposed to be more diplomatic. Frankly, we've had diplomatic language from Democratic and Republican presidents for the better part of a decade when it comes to North Korea. And where are we now? We're at a point where our intelligence apparatus, they're saying that in the next 6 months to a year, they're going to have the capability, maybe even sooner, to have these miniature nuclear weapons attached to missiles that could not just reach Los Angeles from the west, as we've long assumed, but can now even reach Chicago or New York or anywhere in between. This is rough stuff, and maybe some tough rhetoric needs to be thrown out there. But I think the president's critics are right about at least one thing, which is you can't just throw the talk out there. He's going to have a plan to follow all this up. And as we've heard from the president before on ISIS and other national security matters, he doesn't like to telegraph what he's going to do. He threw out some rhetoric. He's going to have to back it up.
Yeah, he's keeping a pretty diverse portfolio of options here with North Korea. He even suggested yesterday that negotiations could work, despite the fact they haven't worked for many years, and this is where we are now. I want to ask you about something that Fox, I see, has been covering pretty closely, and it's these Cuban diplomats, American diplomats in Cuba, somehow being hit by like some sort of sonic waves or something. It's not entirely clear, but the effects are that they're having concussive symptoms.
Yeah, and they've had hearing loss, and some of these American diplomats had to leave Havana. And then last night we broke on Fox that a Canadian official was telling us that, you know, there at least one of their diplomats in Havana had similar issues. And so what's happening here is the Cuban government doing something to these Western diplomats at a time when they're claiming it's a new day in relations. And I think this goes back to what I was saying a moment ago with North Korea. Previous administrations, you know, saying, oh, you know, let's not have tough talk with North Korea. Let's walk softly here. Well, what about Cuba? I mean, we heard so much from the Obama administration about how it was a new day and it was fine to go to that baseball game with the dictator Raul Castro. And President Obama was there, I think, in March of 2016, talking about how this was a new day and things were going to be great moving forward. And this is a big legacy item. And here we are, you know, a year or so later with an investigation uncovering that something's going on with our diplomats on the ground in Havana. So, you know, President Trump got hit pretty hard a couple months back when he said he was going to reverse some of the Obama directives on Cuba because he said he didn't fully trust the Cuban government. I think maybe this investigation will open people's eyes to the fact that we can't fully trust the Cuban government.
Yeah, if this is normalized relationships, it's a pretty abnormal incident. Ed Henry, thanks for stopping by Mornings on the Mall this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Fox News Chief National Correspondent Ed Henry is also the New York Times best-selling author of 42 Faith and a great friend of the program. Thanks for stopping by.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.